This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
You were my thrills, you were my kiss. You got the bomb on me. You turn me out, you turn me on. You turn me loose, and you turn me wrong.
Welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box and the all-new 590 of the Fan. Frank Cusimano with you until 12 o'clock. Got a good one lined up. Tremaine Isabel, the MVP of the Atlantic 10 tournament, is going to join us at 11:15. Martin Kilcoyne will join us at 11 o'clock. And very shortly, we're going to get some insight on Virginia Tech and the Hokies and their fine coach, Buzz Williams. Well, what were your impressions like of him at Marquette?
I liked him. He was a energetic guy.
And wasn't it a little bit surprising why did he left?
I'll say this. It was surprising when I heard about it. It was less surprising when I heard the circumstances behind it.
Wait a minute.
Without getting too much information that I don't think was ever released publicly, but it made sense after I heard a little bit more.
There was some unrest either with him at Marquette or with Marquette at him.
I think Marquette said, maybe you should look at it for a different job. Just because the shocking thing was, I always assumed, like I don't think coaches are long for any school. I just think they're always looking for the next big job. And for Buzz, I always assumed his next big job would be, because he's from the area, Texas, Oklahoma, Texas Tech, A&M, Oklahoma State, somewhere in that kind of Big 12 South region, that would be his next big job. So for it to be Virginia Tech, which at the time was not considered a major basketball school, really surprised me.
Let's see, a couple of other quick thoughts here. Handy Randy, how about Minnesota and Louisville in the first game? The Patino game, the school he used to coach at against the school where his son is coaching. That'll be interesting. I wonder if he will be at the game or if he's coaching in the Greek National Championship, something like that.
It was weird that didn't the complaints seem really low this year? Like, everyone seemed kind of content, whether it be with the teams that were let in or the seedings.
We didn't have Syracuse whining.
I think they're stretching the complaints about where Michigan State is seated, which I would agree. They're the best two seed. You're going up against probably the number one overall seed in Duke. You know, I don't agree with that, but that's about it. And usually you always have a complaint about at least five or six teams that should have got in. This year, I agree with Brian. You don't have that as much, which is nice.
To me, the biggest, I mean, the complaint that's like the most worthless is always location, where people complain like, oh, now they might have to play a pseudo road game in the tournament. Those were the biggest complaints that I saw. Like, I think Tennessee fans were upset about where they're being placed.
With that said, Doug Vaughn said it in The Way Out, they booked SLU in the worst possible site. But believe me, SLU is on cloud nine. They would have driven to Mars. Oh, we got to go to Pluto? Okay, we'll drive. Yeah, I mean, they didn't care at all. Somebody suggesting, since it's March Madness, it's time to book the best guest in the country, and that is Dale Brown. Hey, the Bomberito Automotive family sponsors the show content of this program. If you get a chance, go to bomberito.com, and you can search through their extensive inventory of new cars and pre-owned cars and see if they don't have the right car for you. They do an unbelievable job. They've been at it for 47 years. Nobody has more. Nobody sells more. 20 locations. They are in your neighborhood. The Bomberito Automotive Group, 16 service centers. They believe they know your car better than you know your car. They are the number one choice for your automotive needs, the Bomberito Automotive family. All right, as we mentioned, it's going to be SLU against Virginia Tech on Friday night in San Jose. Joining us now is John Laser. He is the voice of the Virginia Tech Hokies. John, we appreciate your time. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, Frank. Hope you are as well.
We are. Boy, it's been a terrific season, including a victory over Duke without Zion. Have you exceeded expectations, or is this about what you thought for Virginia Tech?
Well, it's an interesting question because I think when you peel it all the way back, the Hokies are about where you would have expected them to be. But obviously having such a catastrophic injury right in the middle of conference play and being without Justin Robinson, who's your floor general, your quarterback, whichever cliche you want to use, for 10 conference games in the regular season. So I think right at that point, the Hokies were about right where they expected to be, a top 15 team in the country. Took them a week or so to steady themselves, and then ultimately played like it down the stretch as well. So I think the easy answer to that is the Hokies are about right where they expected to be, although they certainly have not gotten here in the fashion that maybe they expected to.
How would you characterize the health of Justin Robinson, who comes in averaging an eye-popping 5.2 assists a game?
Well, I think in terms of his foot and the injury that he sustained, he's good to go, obviously, to be cleared to play. I think it's difficult to be in game shape without having played games. So that will be interesting to see. I know they're working him as hard as they can in practice, and was just over at the facility this morning, and he's going through a lot of regimental type stuff to be as physically fit as possible. And he's a young guy, so I don't think it takes him as long to bounce back as maybe as it would for me if I had sat on the couch for 6 weeks. But at the same time, I think it'd be a little bit naive to think he's just going to run back out there and play 35 minutes in the first game. So it's definitely a balance to see where he's at. But do know he's a competitor, and as a senior, this is his last go-around. So I think if he's got anything in the tank, he's going to leave it out there.
John, I wonder if there's many teams in college basketball that have four guys averaging in the teens.
Yeah, not too many. You know, we see that a little bit in the ACC. You know, Miami, for their lack of success, was a team that had that. But I think it's the way in which Virginia Tech spaces those double figures. You know, they get them in different ways. Ty Outlaw, just a spot-up shooter and scorer. Ahmed Hill, kind of a transition flyer. Robinson, a create for others and then take his when he gets it. And Blackshear, the guy you play through, particularly in Robinson's absence. So, you know, it's that versatility that obviously makes them difficult to defend. But I think to your point, Frank, you're absolutely right. That diversity is also why they've been as successful as they have been.
I don't know if you know too much about the Billiken team, but their best offense is throwing it on the backboard and then somebody getting an offensive rebound and a putback. They're not the most skilled team, but, man, they're relentless on the glass. How would you, you know, characterize? I know Blackshear's a really good rebounder, but your team in terms of physicality and rebounding.
Yeah, the interesting thing about this matchup is that these two teams played last year in the 2K Classic, and I know the personnel is a little bit different for St. Louis and Coach Ford, but the style of play is not, and the guard play, particularly the physicality from the guards, gave the Hokies trouble last year, and it was a game that Buzz Williams goes back to all the time with his own team's energy level without trying to discredit St. Louis winning that game, which they did relatively easily. Actually, and saying, guys, this is an example of how we can't play or we're going to get beat up, particularly in the ACC tournament. So, yeah, I think a little bit of the way St. Louis plays led to what the Hokies have transitioned themselves to defensively, which is almost a version of the pack line. They don't call it that. They call it the cover two, but it's essentially predicated on keeping people out of the lane, not only from scoring, but from rebounding as well, and trying to make you three-point reliant, which is obviously the exact opposite of what St. Louis wants to do. So it's kind of a rubber meets the road. I think the Hokies are sneaky good on the glass, despite the fact that they don't have a lot of height. They have a +3 rebounding edge in the ACC, which is not easy to accomplish, something they have not ever accomplished until this year under Buzz Williams. So there's definitely some aspects to St. Louis that scare you, and that rebounding ability is one of them. But at the same time, I think the Hokies are going to feel good about their defensive game plan going in.
Speaking of Buzz Williams, we hear his name popping up as a candidate at Texas A&M. I imagine he is really low-keying that, but is it much of a discussion in your neck of the woods?
Not internally, no. You know, we're on social media out here like everybody else is, and we see it. But as Justin Robinson and Ahmed Hill said last night after the selection, there hasn't been a year they've been here where Buzz Williams hasn't been mentioned for jobs, and all that means is that you're having a ton of success. I like to use the analogy, if you're out at a bar and someone asks your girlfriend to dance, you know, that means she's pretty, but it doesn't mean she's got to say yes. So that's the approach we're taking right now. Obviously, he's a Texas guy, and some of his former staffers were down on Billy Kennedy's staff. And, you know, so a lot of those things make sense, I think, to people that are hypothesizing about it. But I don't think it's much of a big deal inside the building right now.
So you're saying Buzz is pretty?
Exactly what I'm saying, yeah.
How about the season itself? It's not just 24 victories, but that four seed is the highest ever. I mean, is this – yeah, I know you've had some great seasons in the past, but it's one of the best ever, correct?
Yeah, I think it is the best ever, quite frankly. You know, and that's a program that hasn't had a very high bar. You know, this is a football town and still is. You know, with all the tremendous success that Coach Beamer had prior to his retirement, Justin Fuente kind of elevating that in his 2 years as well. And I think it's just a testament to what this group of seniors and a couple of the guys below them have built. And it's been fun, obviously, this being my fourth year in this role, is seeing Buzz Williams and his staff build towards this, because, you know, you could see in his second year with these guys, the building confidence, making the tournament, but it was a happy to be there type situation in an 8-9 game. Last year, you had some things go wrong from an injury perspective, and you wound up in that same spot where you were in a toss-up game, which you lost to Alabama. This year, this program really took the step into being a top 20 team, ranked every week of the season for the first time it's ever happened, and understanding the mentality that it took to be that, you know, showing up even against some of these blue blood teams like a Duke, Zion or no, and expecting to win those games, or expecting at the very least to be competitive even on the road. And that's the hardest thing to do, I think, in college basketball, is to get there and stay there. The Hokies have gotten there. Whether they'll be able to stay there over the next few years is obviously open for debate.
Okay, final couple thoughts. For Virginia Tech to win this game, and you saw SLU up close and personal, Virginia Tech has to do what?
Yeah, they just have to hold the ball. They have to not turn it over and give the Billikens extra possessions, and then they have to not get killed on the glass, like you were discussing. They can't give second chances to St. Louis in this game. But I think ultimately, when you map it out, the Hokies need to play well. They need to execute well on the offensive end, and if they do that, I think they feel like they'll be okay, because I think there's a clear talent edge.
Good stuff. We appreciate your time, sir. We will see you in San Jose. Thank you so much.
Absolutely, guys. My pleasure.
Okay, John Lazor joining us, voice of the Virginia Tech Hokies. How about that, though? Four guys averaging 13 or more points a game? That's pretty rare. That's pretty impressive.
That is, yeah.
Yeah. And this Justin Robinson, he is really good. I mean, talking about a guy who's averaging 14 and 5, and he's shooting, let's see, he's shooting 47% from the floor, too, and 82% from the line. Boy, how about the Billikens at the end of a game? They just have to get the ball to one player to shoot free throws. I mean, can you imagine? You don't feel good about anybody. Well, Tremaine's okay. But, gosh, it is just such a tough situation for
them. And you knew that was going to be an issue late, because obviously it became clear that it was going to go down to the final minute of that game. It wasn't going to be a blowout in either direction, and then if that's the case, you knew that free throws were going to be a bit of a determining factor, and for SLU, that's problematic.
They were 7 of 15, and the one guy I'm talking about is Javon Bess, and he was 3 of 6.
But they started off well. Weren't they 5 of 6 to start the game? That was the only reason why they were scoring in the opening minutes.
Like Foreman, who's really a brutal free throw shooter, he made his first two, and like even Sponarco said, did that look like a 50% free throw shooter to you? By the way, our texters are so spectacular. They're all texting me and they're saying, we'll fly into San Francisco and then drive. And then I'm looking. So then I listened to our texters, and I texted our person at Channel 5, and she sends back. She says that she just sent it. It's $900 to fly into San Francisco.
Oh, my God.
So I think spring break has something to do with it. So now we're going to – then somebody just said try Oakland. So now we're trying Oakland. Our texters are determining our flight here.
Is it just also the – how short – or not so much short, but the amount of time prior to the flight? It's kind of last
probably,
minute.
Yeah.
Just to fly to Nebraska and then drive to San Jose.
You get a good flight to Omaha, right?
Guaranteed under 200.
Yeah, that's good. All right, what else there, Brian?
And it really did screw you. It could have been like Columbia or Columbus, Ohio. Isn't Ohio hosting one, or –
there's Tulsa, there's Des Moines. Was Dayton having one besides Tuesday? Do they have one?
Columbia, South Carolina is hosting. Dayton, Ohio is not. Here are the areas. And so we can say which one is better from your standpoint than San Jose. Hartford, Connecticut, better or worse?
Ooh, that's close.
Yeah, that might be the only one that's worse.
It's like a toss. Toss up
there. Des Moines, Iowa.
Better.
Jacksonville, Florida.
Better.
Salt Lake City.
Better.
Columbia, South Carolina.
Better.
Columbus, Ohio.
Better.
Tulsa.
Oh, my gosh.
Tulsa would have been the best.
Yeah. Gosh. That's rough. All right. Maryville University sponsors our phone lines. They're continuing to build a more diverse and inclusive campus. It's a core value of the institution and one of four pillars in Maryville's strategic plan. Diversity and inclusion are key principles of the learning environment, and Maryville regards multicultural understanding as an essential measure of student success. Please go to maryville.edu. We'll talk a little bit more about some of those outstanding high school performances when we come back.